Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Now, let's join the new series, Breaking Cycles.
Let's conclude our series this morning, Breaking Cycles, Part 4. Amen. One of my prayer points for you and myself is that God will reveal to me the cycles that I'm in. You know, you can't even see the relevance of a message if you don't have a revelation of how it applies to you. And it's possible that I could be preaching God's word and lack the revelation of what He's doing at the moment, even in my own personal life. I found myself this week asking God, Father, I don't want to preach a message and not benefit myself from that message. I was telling the Lord, I've seen how He's been operating in this ministry and how He's been helping people through the things I preach. So I realized that every time God sends a message, there's something He's trying to do. I've noticed it in the lives of people. Not even necessarily in my life, but in the lives of the people around me. I've noticed every time He gives me a series, at the end of that series, there are certain things that He does for people. Then I was saying to Him, Father, I do not want to just be a preacher of this one. Myself. Every cycle that I'm in. Because I would be deceiving to think I'm not into some. I'm sure there are many cycles that me, your pastor, Satan has caged me into. And my prayer, number one, Father, reveal them to me so I can address them squarely in prayer. And give me the right attitude towards them. I'm sure there are cycles in my ministry. I'm sure there are cycles in my finances. I'm sure there are cycles in my relationships. I'm sure there are cycles in the influence God has given me. There are cycles on them. Limiting me and causing me to not go as far. One of the greatest tools of the devil against pastors especially, and men of God and women of God, is deception. To think that you are okay is one of his greatest deceptions. Because when he makes you think you are okay, he takes away out of you any fighting spirit, any intention to do anything. You just become at ease in Zion. And when that happens to you, he can rule easily. So that's one of the major thing we should look out for, people of God. Look out for deception. Being deceived into thinking all is well. Now, when all is well, we thank God for it. But don't just say all is well. Meanwhile, all is not well. But you are deceived into thinking all is well. It's another disposition you can find yourself into. So I'm praying that God will have mercy on me. Rick Joyner said that when God, one of the greatest ways God shows grace to you is by revealing to you your current deceptions. Like, that is one of God's greatest graces to you. When God reveals to you how deceived you are currently on this and that and this and this and this, we are deceived all the time. We are deceived all the time. May God take away every deception from your life, from my life, so that we can see things as they are. Do you understand? See things. May God take away the veils and cause you to really see. Because when that happens, it has an effect over your life. It causes you to take certain steps. It causes you to make certain adjustments that you wouldn't have made had you not seen the way you see now. Praise the name of Jesus. The first week I taught you about four effects of cycles in our lives. Four effects. And you know, every time I go to check how the messages God is giving me are doing, I always check the response that I'm getting. That message in particular has been really sought after. Yeah. I'm noticing the effect it's having. And it seems to me that it's actually a revelation that many people were not aware of something called cycles, so to say. Yeah. Because it's drawing a lot of curiosity and attention. And we thank God for that. The second week, I taught you on breaking cycles through the anointing, which is actually a replica of what we are doing today. That we're going to have an anointing service where you're going to be anointed. We're going to put into practice the things we've been learning. Then last week, we saw 8 reasons why people's lives turn in circles. 8 reasons to understand that every single thing that happens to you and me has a cause. And if you and I can take the time to know the causes of these things, we can avoid them quite easily. Praise God. You are becoming wiser. You are becoming smarter. In the name of Jesus. If you've been following this ministry closely, I want you to know you are changing. Maybe you are not aware of it well, but I promise you, you are not the same person. You know, and if you could just become more intentional and more engaging, you will see that your change will even be a bit faster. Because some of you are changing just by virtue of the momentum. But you can start changing by intentionality. Like you decide, you know what, I'm going to get into this like seriously. Another tip I want to give you before I hit on a few things here this morning. Listen. This is a little tip for you. Praise the name of Jesus. For you to do well in the things of God. Like, if you, number one, like I told you, understand that you can be deceived. Be very much aware of that. That you can be deceived. And that where you are, I'm talking to you, exactly you listening to me and watching me right now. You are deceived about a number of things currently. I know you might not believe me. There is the truth. The simple fact that you don't even think you are deceived, that's actually a deception. The fact that you don't think you can be deceived. Yeah. And that is one of the major things that happened to Christians. Christians don't think they can be deceived. They never even think about something like that. I can be deceived. They view deception as to pertaining to finances, that somebody is a crook, he wants to scam me. Like, they only view deception at those levels. That somebody, nobody can scam me, nobody can crook me, and stuff like that. That's not the deception I'm talking about. I'm talking about the deception of your thinking. How you see things, how you think, how you process things. Some of your thoughts have been given to you by the enemy. Yes. The Bible says we cast down imagination. So it means things have been placed in there. And you are operating based on those things. That's why we say deception. Are you getting what I'm trying to say to you? So one prayer that you will do well to pray, Lord, show me my current deceptions. So reveal to me where I, and it's one of the causes of, you know, of cycles, is that people are deceived. You are working under heavy deceptions. I hope God is helping somebody here. This morning, quickly, breaking cycles by turning north. I think it will be just fair to explore the formula that the Lord gave to the Israelites, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. He gave the key of breaking cycles. And the Lord spoke to me. God is speaking to you right now. Saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. Do what? Turn north. So turning north is the recommended way to breaking a cycle. If you can understand what it means to turn north, Do you get it? Then you've broken the cycle, because that's what he told them to do. Now, I mean, you can see your life is turning in circles. So what do I do? Tell your neighbor, turn north. Turn north. Turn north. If you can turn north, do you get it? You'll move from that cycle. From whatever it is. I don't know what the cycles are, but I'm trusting God that by the end of this message, you will know what it means to turn north, and you will start turning north. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take your seat in the house of God quickly. Number one, why turn north? Why? Do you understand? Because if you know the cardinal points of, you know, the four cardinal points, you will know that north is just one of them. So there's north, there's south, there's east, and there's west. So it's not like God is just using a figure of speech. He has a choice. He could have chosen any of the other cardinal points. Why did he choose north? There must be something about north. Why is God saying turn north? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I want to help you understand something quickly this morning. Cardinal directions have a biblical symbolism. Each one of them. Let's take the east, for example. I'm not going to take you through all four, but let's just take maybe one and then I talk about north. If you take the east, you know that the sun rises on the east and sets on the west. Do you understand? So, the east, every cardinal direction has good and bad symbols. The east in particular has some very, very bad symbols about it. First of all, that the fact that it's the sun rises there, but it doesn't stay there. So it starts there, but then it shifts. Do you understand? So it has an element of variation. Like things change. Do you understand? Things start well, but they don't stay well. The sun rises nice there, but then after a while it shifts. Do you understand? Now, the Bible says, and the Lord God planted a garden in the east of Eden. And if you study the Garden of Eden that was planted in the east, you will see that it started very well. Everything was very nice. And then the thing started shifting. And after a while, it moved from being nice and it became a judgment. So he said that variation, it starts well, but it doesn't stay well. I'm just taking the east to show you that when God is saying turn north, it's not just a way of speaking. There's a very deep meaning in that thing that he's talking about there. Are you listening to me? Still talking about the east. You see, the problem of Eden that started in the east continued in the east. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 verse 16, so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Who is Cain? Cain is the guy who killed his brother, Abel. And Cain departed from the presence of God. So you see, the first human being to move, I mean, if you are in the presence of God, why on earth would you want to go anywhere else? But Cain departed from the presence of God. He left a good thing and went east. Variation. He moved from that good location he was in, the same way his parents had moved from the good location called Adam and Eve, and they went the other way. So east has that variation. And I can just give you one more. It's Genesis 11 verse 2 to 4. as the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stones and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth. The Tower of Babel happened in the east. The people went eastward. Eastward. When they went eastward, they decided. So Cain went eastward. After him, the people that came after Cain also went eastward. And they all, please tell your neighbor, don't go east. And so when somebody is saying to you, you have gone east, he's saying to you, you've lost it. You've gone the wrong way. When you hear somebody say, this guy has gone east, it means he started well, but he has gone east. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? May God deliver you from every east tendency. Do you know that the east is thick tendencies? That may God take them out of your life. Are you with me? Let's talk about north. Because that's our main point. Turn north. What does north represent in scripture? North represents permanency, accuracy. Oh, yes. You know, back in the day, when we didn't have GPS and all these other amazing tools that we have today, people were using the stars and were using compasses, a compass, to find their way. And when people use compass, the main thing they use as a reference was the direction of the north. And they even used to call it the true north. When you hear about the true north, they are talking about the exact location. Like, that's the main position you need to find your, like, to know where you are standing. The true north. If you've done your schooling a little bit, you know that what I'm saying to you is true. The true north is unchanging. There's a magnetic north, but there's a true north. The true north is always there. It's permanent. It's accurate. It doesn't change. So the east suggests a deviation from God's purposes. Meanwhile, the north suggests an alignment with God's purposes. You've turned around this mountain too long. Turn north. Get back. Get back on what I took you on. Like, we are going somewhere. You now got stuck into this thing, but this is not my permanent will. This is not exactly what I want for you. There's something greater that I have for you. And when it says turn north, it says get back on the journey. Get back on what we started the journey for. Get back on the initial purpose. You understand? There's something we started before you got stuck. Turn off. Get your direction back. Get your alignment back. Refocus and get back on the way. That's what he's trying to say to you. There's no quicker way to breaking cycles than redefining your purpose. Rediscovering why you are here in the first place. What is it that I came to do? What is my main purpose? Once you rediscover that, it has a way of causing you to realize, you know what? You are not where you are supposed to be. This is not where I'm supposed to be. Tell your neighbor, turn off, my friend, turn off. What is the north? The north is the dwelling place of God. God dwells on the sides of the north. You will remember, one of the main things Satan wanted to do,
Let me actually read it for you. In the book of Isaiah 14, verse 13. He says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mountain of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north." He specified where he wants to sit. The farthest side of the north. Why? And when you come to Job 37 verse 22, the Bible says, out of the north comes a golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. Out of the north, comes a golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty from the north. So we know, based on that scripture, that the throne of God is in the privileged vantage location of the north. And when Satan was rebelling, he was aiming for that same direction. That's where he was trying to go, the side of the north. Because the north in heaven is basically the best location for everything. And that's what he wanted. And I'm amazed that God is saying to somebody here, turn north. Turn north. Turn north. And that's where God is. Fine-tune yourself again. As soon as you miss a sense of the purpose for which God created you, you start turning in circles. And as soon as you reconnect back to your original purpose, to the main reason why you are alive, you break the cycle. And God calls that turning north. Finding your direction again, your true north. Finding, tell your neighbor, find your true north. Find your true north. Yeah. So, quickly, before I pray for you, what does it mean to turn north in practical terms? Number one, receive and obey divine direction. That's what it means. Turning north is all about capturing divine instructions. Do you realize that these guys were going to turn there 1,000 years until God gave an instruction and they also captured the instruction? Hearing the voice of God has a way of breaking cycles out of your life. Being able to capture God's voice when you feel stuck. If I can tell you something this morning, these guys were not turning in circles by mistake. You see, I want to show you something. The same Deuteronomy chapter 2. Let's start from verse 1 because I've been reading it from verse 2. Let's start from verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, "Then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness towards the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me." So the place where this guy found himself turning around like this, they didn't get there by disobedience. Actually, it is God who had asked them to go that direction. Do you get it? So they got to the place. But now they say, "Just as the Lord had instructed me, and we wandered around in the region of Manasseh for a long time." So they got an instruction, they followed the instruction, but then they got disconnected. And when they got disconnected, they started turning in circle now. They started turning in circle. Then verse 3 says, "Then at last the Lord said to me." So God spoke first. When God spoke first, they got to a certain place. You might not be where you are now by disobedience. Actually, maybe you are there because God led you there. But then you got there and then you are now stuck. Why are you stuck? Because that's not the last instruction that God has for your life. It was just one of the instructions, but you need to keep listening so you can get the next instruction. Okay, if you don't get the next instruction, you start turning in circles. God speaks, but God speaks again. Yes, God spoke to you, and that's why you are where you are. But what God told you is not the only thing God has to say to you. So if you get stuck there, it's because you got disconnected from his voice. So he says, then at last, the Lord said to me, you have been wandering around this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. You see, another instruction came, and that instruction broke the cycle in his life. So I'm trying to say to you, God spoke, but God wants to speak again. And if you get stuck in the last thing God said, you will find yourself in cycles, yet you are obeying God, but you are now obeying God in disobedience. Like the good thing you did is no more good. God is the one who asked you to come here. Then you are there. But now that you are there, you are now stuck. And you need to go back and say, Lord, what do I do next? What do I do next? It is God who told Abraham, take your son, go and sacrifice him in the mountain that I will show you. So Abraham took his son, went to the mountain God showed him. And Abraham almost killed his son until he heard again. God has something to say again. And if you don't hear what God has to say again, Isaac is going to die there. Now you're going to get stuck. Everything's going to get stuck there. This morning, receive grace to capture new instructions. I know you got an instruction, but you need a new instruction. The Lord God says in the book of John 13, verse 34, so now I am giving you a new commandment. God has a new commandment, a new instruction. And the one I gave you the old instruction. I gave you the old commandment. But now, I'm giving you a new commandment. And to some of you, if you miss that new commandment, if you miss that new commandment that he's giving, do you get it? You can get stuck there. So what I'm saying this morning is that turning north is capturing new instructions. That's what it means. That you were able to pick up that God is saying turn north. That you are able to hear God say that. That's what it means to turn north. Wow. Wow. Luke 5:5-6. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. It sounds like a youth, like an anti-shepherd. Blessing thought about this last Sunday. Now, this is a serious cycle. I mean, I've worked hard. It's not that I'm lazy. I've really worked hard. But I didn't get anything. A lot of you are not lazy. You are really trying. But now the whole thing is turning in circles. It's not producing what you are expecting it to produce. It's no more producing. I mean, there are days where this guy worked hard and it produced. There was a sign and a season. I mean, for him to be working hard, it means he knew that if I work hard, I will get something. So he used to work hard and he will get results. But then he entered into a season that he's working hard and there is no results. He's working hard and he's working all night. Maybe because he was working hard half night. So he discovered that, okay, maybe let me push the whole night. So he started working hard all night and he started catching something. But then he entered another season. He works hard all night and there's nothing. Sounds like some of us. You used to do something and it used to give certain results. Now you are doing the same thing and you are doing it the way you know how you used to do it and it's no more getting the results. It's time to turn north. That is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. It's time to turn north. Turn north. Turn north. You have hit a cycle. The Bible says, but because you say so, you know, there's an instruction that has now come. It's a new instruction. Because you say so, I will lay down the net. The Bible says in verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large amount of fish that their net began to sink and to break. That's how they broke the cycle. Through divine instruction. Through divine instruction. Launch into the deep and throw your net. When they obeyed that divine instruction, they broke a cycle. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high. You will break. Being set high means you were low. And you couldn't set yourself high. Somebody came and pushed you up. Above all the nations of the earth. And this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's the key to breaking cycles. Capture the new instruction. Don't get stuck in the old instruction. Before you realize something God is the one who told you to do has become a cycle. Are you listening to me? Something good God told you to do has become a cycle. Because that thing God told you to do is not the only thing he's saying. So don't get stuck in it. God is the one who asked me to do this, so I'm doing it. But you are no more seeing the results. It means you've hit the cycle. And you need to start seeking God for the new instruction. The new instruction. Which he's willing to give you. If you are willing to listen. Don't be stubborn to say, no, man, I'm working hard here. I don't have time to listen. Oh, you can be there for 1,000 years. But just one instruction. Launch into the deep through your net. That little instruction broke the cycle. Many cycles are going to break as a result of reconnection to the voice of God. A lot of us have taken off well with the right instruction. But along the way, God has new instructions. And that's my main thing to you this morning. That these guys were turning in circle because God asked them to do it. But now he was changing it. Number two, what does it mean to turn off? Do something new and radical. Do something new and radical. You see, if you are turning like this, that's what you know now. For you to be turning like this and to shoot like this, like you have broken, like it's radical. You see, a circle and a straight line are not the same thing. When you are turning around, you are turning like this. But now you are told to turn like this. Like it's like you're breaking completely out of that circle you were in. So you are not curving. You are pulling out. It's radical. It's for you to come out of that circle, you need to do something that is so radical that it's totally different from the thing you were doing. Like it's completely new. It's unthinkable. It's unimaginable that you will even consider the possibility of doing something like that. That sometimes that's what it takes to break the cycle. That a woman who has an issue of blood, who is supposed to be locked up in the house, not going anywhere, will leave her house, get on the road, touch people, knowing very well that if they pick up that she is what they think she is, she's dead. Because if you are having your period, you're supposed to be in the house. You are unclean. You shouldn't touch anybody. And she is unclean, but she is doing something radical. She is entering the crowd and she is pressing through people, knowing very well if they can discover who she is, they will kill her. That's very radical. And she broke through the cycle
by doing something very, very radical. And you see, that's what you need to have to do. The cycles are not breaking because you are doing things, but they are not radical enough. They are still in the same round. You know, like you are doing something. It's still part of the... It's just a curve. You are curving in the circle. You are curving. You haven't broken out of the whole thing. Because your circle becomes your comfort zone. It's what you know. It's what you are used to. And we are creatures of habit, so we usually go back to what we know. We are more comfortable with what we are used to. And unfortunately, your comfort is the reason why you are not breaking the cycle. You are very comfortable. God says in Isaiah 43 verse 19, I'm doing a new thing. In Psalm 40 verse 3, he says, he has put a new song in my mouth. He has put a new idea in my heart. He has put a new mind in my head. Something new. He's trying to give you something new. 9 signs that you are doing something new. If you are doing something new, there are signs. And if you are not doing something new, it shows also you are not doing something. Number one, the first sign that you are doing something new, you become afraid. The lack of a certain fear in your life is a proof you are not doing anything new. There's nothing new you are doing that is causing you to be scared. I'm not talking about being afraid, you know, of like you went to bed and then you are seeing things on the wall. Meanwhile, it's your clothes. I'm not talking about that type of fear. Or you've been sinning and you are afraid that the judgment of God is coming to you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fear. You are trying to do something, but you are afraid as you are trying to do the thing. That fear that comes is an indication to you. You are doing something new. When there's no fear, it means you are in your comfort zone. Every day you come and do the same thing. There's no fear. In fact, you can do it with your eyes closed. You are so used to doing it. You are just enjoying doing it. In fact, now you are just enjoying. You are flowing. There's no fear. You don't feel that fear in your, hey, am I getting it right? Hey, is it working? Hey, are people happy? Hey, am I doing it well? You know, that thing is not there. When was the last time you felt like that? About something you are doing. When was the last time you felt that there's a bit of fear? There's a bit of unsettling. You haven't been turning north, you see. You need to do something radical. When you are doing something radical, it means there will be a bit of fear. Because it's unusual. It's not the circle. You are not going this way. That's going to bring a bit of, hey, it's uncomfortable. Number two, there will be pressure. Have you been under pressure lately? Is there any pressure? Do you feel pressure? When you feel pressure, you are doing something new. The lack of pressure in your life is the presence of pleasure. You are having a lot of pleasure. You are just enjoying pleasure. And that's why you are not breaking any cycles. You are seeking pleasure, comfort, nice, easy. Pressure is a proof you are trying to break out. Pressure is a proof you are trying to turn off. Number three, criticism. The lack of criticism in your life is a very bad sign. It's very bad that nobody is criticizing you. Everybody loves you. How come people love you like that? I mean, why? Jesus had haters. Staunch haters. We're not everybody just like, oh, sweetie. Oh, Miss Cat. Everybody is sweeting you. Nobody is criticizing you.
You know why? Because you are not doing anything new. Nobody is criticizing you. They've already accepted your state. So you have become one with them. I mean, how can they criticize you? Meanwhile, you are like them. We are together. When you start preaching the gospel in that class, you will not see criticism. Because you are not doing something new. When you start doing different, you will see that people will start saying, she thinks she's better. He thinks he's better. He thinks he's this. Because you are doing something new. The lack of criticism is a bad sign that you are not doing anything new. I'm just telling you. Huh? Somebody here, you're going to start doing something radical and new. Something new and radical. There's no pressure in your exams. You know why there's no pressure in your exam? You are not doing hard exams. When you are not feeling any pressure about the exam, either you have over-prepared yourself or the exam is under you. Like, that is the exam. Maybe you're supposed to be in grade 12. You are doing the exam of grade 6. How can you feel any pressure? Like, you are supposed to write grade 12, but you are writing grade 6. It will be a walk in the park. You'll just be flowing nice and you will feel like, wow, I'm just enjoying myself. And that's why a lot of us are in cycles. You are not being examined based on your level. You are not facing the real challenges that are supposed to be at your level. You are still facing the challenges of bread. Those are not the challenges you should be facing right now. And then you are facing them nicely. Then you try to organize 12 rand and you buy the loaf of bread. And you feel, wow, I have conquered. I have conquered the bread. No, you see, when you start facing challenges your size, there'll be fear. There'll be pressure. There'll be criticism. Number 4, what is a sign that you are learning something new? New people in your life. I'm sure you realize that to learn something you need, there must be new people. Has there been a new person in your life for the past 6 months? A new person, listen, a new person means you are learning something new because he knows the thing, so he's coming to teach you something new. It's somebody you didn't know. If you knew him, then the thing is not new. But if you are learning something new, it's usually coming from either a new person or a new book. And the book don't write themselves. They are written by somebody. So I'm asking you, has there been any new person in your life? The lack of new people is an indication of complacency. Comfort. Hey. Number 5 or 6. The lack of new problems. Have you asked your neighbor, have you had a new problem? Like, no new problem. Same old problems. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood had met many gynecologists. She had never met Jesus. He was a new person. He was a new person. And if she had not met that new person, she was not going to break that cycle. Many of your cycles are connected to you meeting new people, reading new books. And if you don't do that, welcome to the East.
Yes. New problems. Are you learning? Are you having any new problems? And ask your neighbor, any new problem? Any new problems? Huh? Has there been any new problems? No. Tell them, I know about that problem, but is there any new one? Is there, of late, has there been any new one? I know about this one. Don't repeat it. I know about it. Is there anything new? Is there a new problem? Do you understand? Look, I know your problem of empty chairs in the church. It's a, we know that problem. But is there a new problem of lack of chairs and more people and lack of chairs? Is there a new problem of no parking? There are too many cars. Is there a new problem? Is there a new problem? You are stuck. I really want you to understand, you need new problems. Yeah. You should have new problems. Don't be afraid of new problems. They are a sign you are learning, you are growing, you are breaking cycles. Because new levels, new devil. So you've entered a new level, and there are new devils, new problems that you didn't have before. Now that you are here, something that if you were just minding your small business that you were never going to have. Now that you are here, the problem has come. It's bad, but at the same time, it's a good sign. Can I encourage somebody this morning? Those things that are making you feel like everybody hates you, they are a good sign. And I'm not talking about people hating you because of a bad attitude you have. Do you understand? You don't greet people. You are just a bad Christian. I'm talking about you are doing everything well. But for some reason, people don't like you. And in fact, people don't like you because you're doing things well. That's a good problem. Yeah. I want my shepherd to have new problems and bigger problems. I want the branches to have problems of, Pastor, we have so many people, the church building is too small. We need to start another branch. Those are good problems. Those are very good problems. Very, very good problems. And there are signs somebody is learning something new. They are very good signs. The rest you will learn another day. We don't have time to go through that. I want to pray for you. Do something radical. Few people who did something radical in the Bible. Peter did something radical. He stepped out of the boat and walked on water. That was very radical. You see, it had never been done before. That was very, very radical. And another person who did something radical was Esther. She appeared before the king without an appointment. And each one of these people came out with, I mean, their level changed. As far as I'm concerned, Peter became the father of the church. Paul, he walked on water. I mean, did John walk on water? Did Andrew walk on water? Did Judas Iscariot walk on water? The guy who walked on water, who took the risk of his life, the risk of drowning. What if that was not Jesus calling him? Have you thought about that? Because the Bible says Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. What if that was not Jesus? And as soon as he put the first step, puke, gone. So it was a big risk, and Jesus took note of it. And Esther, with that appointment, fasted 40 days. And 3 days and 3 nights. And she said, if I perish, I perish. That is radicalism at its best. Eh? Let me read it for you. Esther 4 verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa
and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. Even though it is against the law, I will go to the king. And if I perish, I perish. What a radicalism. And that's what it took to turn north for her. I don't know what it will take for you to turn north. Huh? You keep turning in circles, doing the same things. I'm sure you've heard about what is insanity. Doing the same things, expecting different results. You are doing the same things. You are studying the same way. You are watching TV the same way. You are sleeping the same way. And you are expecting that miraculously there will be a change. Oh, it doesn't happen like that. Somebody this morning, receive a radical spirit from God. Break out of that non-challenged spirit, that weak spirit that can't confront anything, that can't fight, that can't say, if I perish, I perish. That is just playing safe, making sure everything is according to preservation. Your whole life is about preserving yourself. I mean, how can you do well? My father in the ministry, that used to say the greatest risk, not taking risk is the greatest risk of all. That you not taking a risk, that is the greatest risk that you have brought on yourself. Now I want to give you one last step, what it means to turn north. What it means to turn north is embrace your destiny. Embrace who you are. Do you know that your hesitation about accepting who you are will keep you in circles? A lot of us are in circles because we haven't accepted and embraced, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. You are still hesitant. And because you are hesitant, that's actually where you can't do certain things. And that's why you get stuck. You haven't accepted it fully. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. Once you embrace it, a power is released. That starts causing you to move. You start moving. A lot of you know you are calling to the ministry, but you have never said to the Lord on your own, because said, Lord, I say yes. You are just thinking about it. Oh, yeah, it's a good thought. I mean, I think I could do it, depending on the circumstances that will be prevalent at that time. But you haven't fully accepted it. And because you haven't fully accepted it, it is hesitation after hesitation. Isaiah 6 verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And there are many people in the room and they are hesitant. You see, I think it could be me, but I'm not sure yet. I'm still thinking about it. A lot of them were there. I mean, it couldn't be just one person. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? People are hesitant. People are not embracing the call. People are not fully accepting who God says they are. And because of that hesitation that is in your mind, you are turning in circles. Radicalism has a lot to do with you embracing everything. Like I said, this is it. I'm no more looking anything. Yeah. A lot of you are stuck in celibacy and singleness because you are unable to embrace the destiny. This is the person. This is the person, finish and clerk. No, but you see, you are here. A little bit here. I mean, what if? What if is this one? And then it's in the bed. What if now is this one? You see, that hesitation is the reason why you are still single. Because you are turning in circle from this one, you take the probability of this one, and then you check. And then before you realize, you are still in the same place. But you need to embrace one thing and move. I'm glad Isaiah answered. And I said, here I am. Send me. A lot of us will say, here I am. Send them. Here I am. Send her. Me, I'm here. Lord, here I am. Send Pastor Pascal. Lord, here I am. Send Shepherd Peter. Send Shepherd Wangile. Send Shepherd Lawrence. But me, I'm here. I'm here. Lord, you know I'm here. Anytime you need me, I'm here. But you can't send me. I can't go. That's why you are stuck. Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Me, me. I'm the one. 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 And when you say yes to God like that, you cannot begin to imagine the power that starts being released in your direction. Because God sees you are serious. You want to do it. You are ready to do it. You have accepted your calling. You have accepted your destiny. You have embraced who you are meant to be. You are no more doubting it. You are no more hesitating. You are no more having double-mindedness. This is what it's going to be. I will be known as a pastor till I die. So this is my calling. I'm no more fighting it. I have accepted this is who I am. And when you do like that, the power of God comes to help you. And you start breaking free. But you are still there. You want to be this. You want to be this. You want to have this. That's why you are stuck there. That's why you are stuck there. Your mind is double. The word has come this morning to liberate your spirit. Open your mouth and begin to thank God right now for the word that has come your way. Come, see me, kala mondanama. Play my song, break every chain there. Mazepre konto prezika pelemanda. Oh, come on, begin to pray for these 3 points. Accessing the voice of God. Doing something new and radical. Embracing my destiny fully. The 3 keys that unlock the circles breaking anointing in your life. You will be anointed with oil this morning. But I need you to know you have a responsibility. You have a part to play. Mage brazo kona menda na manama. Shaba debe gando na masebra debe debe debe. Come on, begin to pray, begin to pray. Lord, release your grace upon my life now. Shama debre zepre kanto na mashibre debe debe debe. Mege debe zobro gondo na masebe le mande ne manama. Jepre kanto na masibre gando prozipre karebe debe. Yekeyamo, yekeyamo. Yekeyamo. Come on, this is a word that God sent to help you. This is a word God sent to help you. Look at those points and tell yourself, Father, I think I'm seeing my breakthrough. I think I'm seeing what I was going wrong. Shebelebe gandona masabra gandona masebra gandona manama. Merebe gandona masebra gandona masabra daba daba daba. Father, show me the radical thing I must do this time. Father, what is the radical thing I need to do? Do I need to go and knock the doors of a rector of a university? Do I need to go and apply directly with the general manager? What do I need to do? Father, show me what to do. Somebody is praying that prayer. Shama yabaganda namashebre da ba da ba da ba da ba. Pray from the depths of your heart. Father, release a cycle-breaking anointing that is coming with the wisdom of the Spirit to take away the limitations. To take away the limitations this morning. Somebody here is praying and saying, Lord, what is the next thing you are saying? What is the next thing you are saying, Lord? Oh, yes, Jesus. Shemegado basse bregete baramundo namasaya. Mentene masi brecanto foragete baramayama. Megade masi brecanto se brecato pele mandenema. Chama de brezecate profuna pele damalamo. Yemekete brezecate pele damalade. Prende sente preconto yamendene mazé. Redo cose vele maya. Achente presiquete parade, leque sente pre conto peye de balado, gente presi bregade veye mande, rente presu cote paia, prenche presiquete parado ve, oh yamana manama, oh yamana manama, oh yamana manama, but I use this word to change somebody's life, but I use this word to move somebody forward. But I use this message to open the eyes of somebody. But I beg you this morning, use this message to shift somebody in the next and higher dimension. Use this word to shift somebody in the next and higher dimension. Mogayama sabra gada badaba, magayama zopro konama. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now, I want you to take your oil. The ashes are going to come now where you are. And you're going to just dip the tip of your finger in the oil. And you're going to wait. The Bible says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You can put your name there. It is not by might. It is not by power. It is by my Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil. For God was with him. An anointing is going to rest on you this morning. According to Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away. That burden is not for you. It's for somebody else. They just place it on you to carry it for them. The Bible says his burden, not your burden, his burden will be taken away from your shoulders. A lot of you are carrying things that are not none of your business. It's time to take off those burdens. I say it's time to take off those burdens. You are carrying things that you are not so, they are too heavy for your shoulders. They are too heavy for your shoulders. And his yoke from your neck. There are things that you are hooked on. You are hooked on things that you didn't call on yourself. You are hooked on them. It is Rick Warren who said, I don't mind solving a problem I started. My problem is when I'm solving problems that other people started. When you are now fixing the problems of other people, it's a yoke on your neck. It's a burden on your shoulder. When you started a problem, you can own it and say, you know what, this is one thing I did. I'm going to trust God to give me room to fix it. The many of us, you are rather fixing problems created long before you're even born. There's help this morning for you. The Bible says the yoke will be destroyed. Not because you are wise, but because you are intelligent. Not because you know how to put, you know, formulas together. Not because you know somebody in high places. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Please take that oil now and rub it on your forehead. Shiba dapa zopo kele manda namasera. Makatapa zopre kele palamande namasibre gadeba. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 12 verse 13, by a prophet, God took them out of Egypt. And by a prophet they were preserved. If I am a prophet sent to you, by the grace of God, I say to you, put that oil on your forehead. And in the name of Jesus, every burden, every yoke that Satan has placed on you to destroy your life, cause delay, cause destruction, cause discouragement, in the name of Jesus, I decree that burden and that yoke destroy now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Begin to pray in the spirit against the yoke and the burden. Begin to receive your freedom. Please believe in the power of the oil. Father, send angels now in every life and let there be a dismantling, a destroying of yokes of the past, of yoke of past. Let there be a dismantling and a destroying in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and begin to prophesy the end of the yoke and the end of this burden that you are breaking out of them.
Yes,
you are entering
yes.
The fullness of God's plans for your life.
Le mama mama santo la mama ya gadaba na gadaba na mama le pra santo la mama ya le pra kataka bando kona mama ya ne le mama santo la mama ya gadaba Mente bragaraba, le breke bragaraba.
Holy Ghost move now.
Holy Ghost move now.
Holy Ghost move now.
Ashata kaba.
And break the yoke. And destroy the yoke. And take away the burdens.
Kamasanto la manda bara bara. Oh, Holy Ghost, break every yoke. A breka manda kaba la kaba ya kaba ya. Rima mama ya da da bara bara.
Yes. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's shifting you. You are turning north. You are turning north. You are turning north. You are turning north. This is the end of the cycle. This is the end of the cycle. As God's servant, I decree the end of this cycle in your life. As God's servant, I decree the end of the affliction. The end of the oppression. The end of the obstruction. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. We break the yoke. We destroy the yoke. By the anointing. By the anointing. By the anointing. Somebody is breaking free. Somebody is breaking free. Somebody is breaking free. Somebody is pulling out. Your God is not dead. Your God is alive.
Amen.
His power is on your side.
I'm turning north. I'm breaking free. I'm turning north.
Make it up, let them in a
monarch.
I'm turning north. The end has come to this cycle. The end has come to this cycle. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, let there be a release of power. Let there be a release of power to destroy every oppression of the devil. Circles are breaking in your ministry. Circles are breaking in your marriage. Circles are breaking in your finances. Circles are breaking in your career. Circles are breaking in your personal health. In the name of Jesus. Oh, they are breaking. They are breaking. Come on,
break.
In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand of praise, Lord, where you are. We celebrate you, Lord. You shall lift from where you are to where God intends you to be. We started this service by saying, Lord, change my story. Now I want you to say, Lord, thank you for changing my story. Begin to thank him right now. Thank you for changing my story.
Oh, from the beginning of the series until today, I've been changing. Thank you for changing the story. Thank you for changing the story of my life. I was known by my issue. Now I have turned. Come on, continue to thank him. Oh, week one, week two, week three. Today, total victory. I am anointed to break cycles. Cycles are broken. I am free. Celebrate God for your freedom. Keep clapping your hands. Celebrate God for your freedom. Father, thank you that we are free. Father, we thank you that we are free. Oh, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. If you believe that you are free indeed, begin to celebrate Jesus. If you believe that your cycles are broken, the cycles are broken. The cycles are broken. No more cycles. No more cycles. No more cycles. Oh, give it louder for the Lord. Make it louder for the Lord. Make it louder. 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 We give you thanks, Lord. This morning, if you are watching this service, I want you to know that the Jesus who breaks cycles is in the house even this morning. He's here. He's broken our cycles. And I believe he's about to break your cycle. He did it for us. I believe he will do it for you. If you're in this place this morning, you're watching this service. Maybe somebody sent you the link. Maybe you are watching in the chapels. Maybe you are watching in the branch. Maybe you are watching in the car. Maybe you are watching in the house. Maybe wherever you are, and you still feel in my life there are cycles. I want you to know that the same Jesus who broke the cycle of 12 years of the woman of the issue of the blood, that same Jesus is about to break your cycle right now. Now what must you do? The pool has been stirred. What must you do? All that you have to do is to open up your heart. Be like the woman of the issue of blood and say in your heart, if only I can just touch. If only I can just touch. If only I can just touch. This morning you are watching this service and you know that you know that you know that you have not yet touched. You know that you know that you know that you have not yet encountered this Jesus. And you are saying, I want to encounter this Jesus. Oh, today we are standing here. This Jesus who breaks cycles has broken cycles into our lives. How? Why? Because we accepted him. And I see him calling somebody right now. He's calling on you. Yes, you. Right now. You, the one you're watching. You. He's calling out on you. He's saying, my son, come. He says, my daughter, come. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Break the cycle of unbelief. Come unto me. Come. And I'm getting ready to change your life. With every head bowed on, eyes closed. Right now, just bow your head and close your eyes.
Jesus is calling. The cycle breaker is calling. The Bible says he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. He's knocking because he wants to change your life. He's knocking because he wants to rewrite the story of your life. You've been called by your issue. Today, he's calling you in your issue to give you a new identity. While every eyes are closed and every head is bowed, if you're watching this service right now, wherever you are, you're watching this service in your car, you're watching this service in your house, you're saying, I need my life changed too. Oh, we are living testimonies, and you can also testify. At the count of three, if you're saying, I need my life changed, if you're saying, I want to accept this Jesus, I want to open up room for him, I want to open the door of my heart, and I want him to get in my life and begin to also change my life. Right now where I am, I'm like the woman of the issue of blood. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. It's been 20 years. It's been 30 years. I'm turning in cycles. Wherever you are, just bow your head and close your eyes. At the count of three, if you are here like that, you are saying, I need that Jesus. I'm hearing you guys speak. I've been watching you guys. I've been watching. I've been following. But the cycle is still there. The Jesus who broke the cycle of the woman of the issue of the blood, he's here today. And he's about to break a cycle in your life. At the count of three, I want you to lift up your right hand. And we'll pray with you. One, two, three. Come on, just lift up your hand. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift up your hand. Open your heart. Open your heart. God bless you. Make a decision. Make a decision right now. Make a decision right now. I'm deciding. Pastor taught us just now that we need to decide. Why don't you decide? Why don't you decide? Take a decision today. Accept the call. Accept the call. He's calling on you. He's calling on you. And if you're also here and you want to recommit your life to Jesus, you already gave your life to Jesus, but there are some patterns and cycles that I just want to repeat themselves. They've been repeating themselves. Today, you say, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Right now, wherever you are, Jesus is calling on you. At this point, I want you to also lift up your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Come on, lift up your hand. Yes. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Cycles are breaking. Now, everybody who lifted up their hands from the depth of your heart, I want you to pray this prayer with me. While you've closed your eyes and your hands are lifted up, open your mouth and pray this prayer with me. From the depth of your heart, say with me, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I am a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.